Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. That just cut off. I was just getting into it. Hallelujah.
I love that album.
that's
them,
right.
They did.
I hadn't heard that in quite a while, and it's still beautiful. Hallelujah. Just like the first time I heard it. I forgot that brother's name, but I used to play a few of his songs. One of his songs was it was a beautiful. There ain't nothing out there. There ain't nothing out there.
Yeah, Tribe of Judah.
I love
that's
that.
The name of the group.
Yeah,
Tribe of Judah.
There ain't nothing out there. They have a lot of beautiful songs. Hallelujah. Well, let's see. Let's tell
sure
people
do.
What's happening, who we are. Hallelujah. You have tuned in to another edition of the Hebrew Israelite nation of elders, and we are the elders of the Hebrew Israelite nation. I am Elder Yeliah, and we're honored to have Ima Ahaya here with us tonight again. Hallelujah, Ima.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So, yeah, that group was really good. I mean, they still are good. I love them songs. It reminds me of my early days in this awakening. And thank the Most High Yahuwah for the music back because, you know, I grew up in the church and I wouldn't have had nothing, you know, I have nothing against church music, good church music, good gospel songs. But it was so beautiful that the Most High inspired. And it's a lot of brothers and sisters he inspired to write some beautiful, compose some beautiful songs, and still doing it today. Just one more mention about music. I don't want to, I know the broadcast, we're not doing a musical tonight, but it's one sister has some beautiful, I think her name is Malka Norwood. If you guys have a chance to pull her up on YouTube, sister mm-hmm. has some beautiful praise music. Beautiful praise music.
Yes.
Well, hallelujah.
Yes.
Now we're going to get back on track. You know, I used to do a little music myself back in the day, Ima, so that's sometimes I get on this subject, I get a little carried away. I apologize, but hallelujah. Well, we are honored, privileged, and blessed to be amongst our listeners here another day. Hallelujah. We just thank the Most High. Let us live to see another day, another week, and have another broadcast and share this message with the listeners. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what are we up to tonight? Well, the Most High pretty much laid a very simple message, on our hearts, in our spirits. And I say simple because it's not much, but yet it's profound, and it's going to speak to the heart of some of our brothers and sisters. Some of them are doing good work. They're spending a lot of energy. Hallelujah. They got the energy to be out there. You know, some of them are in the prime of their lives, so they have the energy and the will to be out there on the battlefield, and I say praise the Most High for them. But maybe this, you know, in the day, and I used to move like the Energizer Bunny. I mean, man, I used to, you know, when I get out there and start working, sometimes I just try to go as fast as I could. I wasn't trying to be faster than nobody else, but my energy level was just up there. And people used to tell me, slow down. You're gonna hurt yourself. Because I, you know, especially some of those jobs I had, I was in the telecommunications industry. And, you know, sometimes you be working in manholes, and sometimes you're up on the pole. You move too fast, and if you don't know what you're doing, it could be lights out for you or serious injury. And there has been some deaths in my line of work, my old line of work. So some people told me who were wise, some brothers who work with me. They say, brother, you got to learn how to work smarter and not harder. They knew I was a hard worker. But they say, you know, you don't have to work that hard, really. And, of course, they weren't working as hard as I was. you know, I'm not saying they weren't good workers, but I just had a lot of energy. And so, but what they said really went deep down in my spirit. And eventually, I started changing. And as you get older, you don't want to be going a mile a minute anyway. You want to slow down. You want to be more meticulous, and you want to be more safe. I just praise the Most High that I didn't have a serious injury or anything while on the job. But this word here might help somebody, just like that word of wisdom helped me on the job, to work smarter and not harder. You can get just as much done if you learn how to do it more efficiently. And so this word here is for our brothers and sisters who's out on the battlefield and who may feel that they're coming up against a brick wall as they try to share the good news of this awakening, you know, this beautiful awakening The Most High just awakened so many of us out of our sleep, out of a dead sleep. And, it, you know, when I first came into this awakening of who we are as a people, the seed of Jacob, the descendants of the ancient Israelites of the book, I mean, it was, I thought it was pretty much I don't want to say local thing like in my city, but I thought it was maybe a nationwide thing because, you know, I really wasn't looking outside of the United States in that regard. But, you know, as time went on, I said, whoa, this is a world, this is a global. I mean, the Most High is just pow, pow, pow. He, you know, it's just like he had Malachi just going to everybody, just tapping them on the shoulder, saying, wake up, wake up, wake up, all over the world. I mean, brothers in the UK, Africa, I mean, all over Asia, Central, South America, the Caribbean islands, all over the diaspora. So this thing is huge. That's why it cannot be stopped. No, this ain't no Black Panther movement. This is, you know, this is not a Marcus Garvey type movement. Marcus Garvey is a wonderful brother, did some wonderful things. Even the Black Panthers did some wonderful things. They have some wonderful principles. But movements were able to be infiltrated and eventually stopped. This movement here, even though they tried to infiltrate, and they might have what you would call infiltrate, you know, plant, you know, agents in among us and everything, but it didn't work, and nothing's going to work. See, because this was not conceived in the mind of man, this awakening of who we are, the so-called Negro, the so-called descendants of slaves, you call them black, colored, Negro, all down the line, Afro-American. Whatever byword we have went by or our ancestors have went by, this awakening is not from man. This, I want to quote a scripture in Psalms. It's not from man, but this is Yahuwah's doing. And what did Dawid say? And it is marvelous in our eyes. Hallelujah. This is Yahuwah. And it is marvelous in our eyes. That's why we're just sometimes basically we're sitting back and just looking at it with awe and wonder. Like, wow, how could all of these people wake up at, you know, basically not the same time, but pretty much around, I mean, if 1,000 years is at one day, is like one day to the Most High, pretty much this awakening, I mean the main part of it is, and it's still ongoing, but you could say the gist of it, the you know, the main part is pretty much wrapped up in the last, I would say, within the last 20 years, and I know some people have just woken up a few years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I myself came into the knowledge of who we are back in 2002, and that would take a whole testimony to explain. It was miraculous how I was. My story was a little different from some. They've heard people minister, and or they might have 101, had a conversation with a brother or sister who was in this walk, and they became enlightened that way. Mine was more like the Apostle Paul experience. I didn't have anybody. I mean, it came not from word of mouth. It literally fell in my lap, or fell in the book's lap. I literally reached my hand into it, and this is the short version of the testimony, Ima. I literally reached my hand into a bookshelf. I was at a black bookstore in Oakland, California, and I reached my hand into the black bookshelf, because I wanted to buy some. Mm-hmm. I had spent so much time just reading the different books and not buying nothing. I saw the person at the register periodically just glance up at me like, is this guy really going to buy something? The store's almost about to close, and I hadn't bought none. He said, I could just feel the vibe saying, you really going to read all these books and not even patronize our store? Not feel it. He didn't say it, but, you know, and I did come there to buy something, but it was so many good things, I didn't know what to get. And so the store was closed, and here I am. I waited to, like, literally the last seconds, and I think they may even had announced it. And I said, oh, my goodness, I haven't bought it. I said, I got to buy something. And I flat out didn't know what to buy. E-Mom and our listeners on the air, I kid you not, I literally said a short prayer in my spirit, and back then I didn't know him as Yah, but I think I must have said, God, lead me to buy something, lead me to a book to get. And after I prayed that prayer, I literally reached my hand in the bookshelf, that one that was in front of me, and pulled out a book. I mean, so mm-hmm. anything I pulled out, I would have bought. Title was Valley, and I was starting to walk up, I think, to the counter, and the title was Valley of the Dry Bones. Never heard of that book in my life. Mm-hmm. And I found out later it was by Professor Rudolph Windsor. Now, of course, the companion book before that is Babylon of Timbuktu, and so most mm-hmm. people read that mm-hmm. one first, and then they read Valley of the Dry Bones. But I did it backward because I just reached my hand in the bookcase. So no doubt I got this book. I just read the cover real quick, glanced at the inside cover, see what about it. Something about the black Hebrew Israelites or something, the black Israelites. I said, what? Here I am, a church guy, you know. And so I said, I'll get it. And I went on the counter and got it. And I don't know what the guy said, son. It's a good book or whatever. I forgot. It's been years ago. And I took that book home. And I tell you, my life has never been the same. So the Most High himself threw that book. And I got so excited. And I mm-hmm. never did any kind of promotion work, you know, event planning or nothing like that in my life. I got so excited. This book was in detailing how we are, what you call the Negroes, the Afro-Americans. Did we even start? Yeah, we were using the term African-American out there. This was 2002. And how basically we are the Israelites. We are the descendants of the ancient Israelites. And such detail and accuracy, and he went through historic and Bible reference and archaeological. I said, my goodness, I just couldn't wait to tell her. I think I even told my pastor. You know, of course, his eyes just kind of glazed over.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, but you know, I don't think he, you know, flat out, at least not in front of my face, flat out, you know, ridiculed me or rejected it. But anyway, I got so excited, and I'll get off of this soapbox. I got so excited, I called this guy and booked him, and I planned the event, booked him at one of the local churches there to come to speak. So he came all the way from Atlanta to California, the Bay Area, Oakland, California, to do a lecture. And he was a book selling too. And the guy, he was excited. Me and him got to know each other really well for that short period of time. And I did everything. I booked his airline, his hotel, his rental car. I mean, he was impressed. He must have thought I was a booking agency. And I was all by myself. I did all that by myself. I went to the ticket place, printed my own tickets, sold my own tickets, everything. Advertised them, put flyers on people's car windshields. I did the whole nine. That's how excited I was. I was on fire. And so I said that for the short version. I better cut it short. That's how I came into this walk. But I didn't connect all the dots about the more of the spiritual aspect and everything until about 2008 because, you know, after the event, I was still going to church and everything and, you know, praising JC. But 2008, it all came together with this brother's, and I'm going to give him credit. He's called Yahya Bondeley. He did a documentary called Hebrew or the So-Called Negro. So you could say from 2002 when I first found out who we were to 2008 when it all clicked. And, I mean, it clicked so much. That was probably the last time I was in a church, I believe. It was just too much. I was saying, and the Most High found a beautiful place that I can fellowship, me and my two boys fellowship. It was a long drive because, you know, it wasn't too many people awakened back then. I mean, I did some driving on the Shabbat. I might as well spend the night out in the other city. But went out there. I was able to find people fellowship, and that was it. So some people come through, you know, ministry and things like that, but some of us, you know, y'all just kind of dropped it right in our laps. So why did I say all that? Because still today, some of us are still trying to convince people of who we are. And oh my goodness, there's so much overwhelming evidence. First of all, I look at it like this, Iman. If you look at a puzzle, you know, I didn't like to do those puzzles too much, especially those big ones. They just look too complicated. But if you look at a puzzle, and they'll show you a picture of the puzzle, how it's supposed to look on the cover of the box. And so you open it up and you throw it all out, and you know, you start just trying to use logic, and you can see the corners. You can see the corners of it, and you see the flat parts. Those going to be against, you know, those going to be the edges. Those are kind of easy parts, but in the middle and everything. And some parts are so hard. It looks like this piece will fit. It looks like that, but it just won't fit. It just won't fit. I mean, I've tried some puzzles where I might have thought I had that fit by 10 or more different pieces, and it just wasn't it. Even though sometimes I tried to force it, I was like, no, that ain't it. But here's the thing. If you look at biblical prophecy, I mean all of it, from Abraham's, his prophecy in Genesis 15, I believe it's verses 12, 13, 14, you know, when he had the vision about the 400 year that our people would go into servitude, and the nation that we went in servitude with, it will be judged, and then we will leave with great possessions. You look at the conspiracy, how our people lost their identity. You know, pretty much the job was, the deed was cut off. History, heritage was cut off when we got no slave boats. So we lost our identity. We lost our heritage. Heritage is your history, your religion, or your spirituality. Man, I hate that word, religion. But your spirituality, your relationship with the Most High. You lost your language. You lost all the things that make you a nation, a cohesive nation. What other nation today can say the same? Well, you got some people who's so-called what they call the Holy Land over there. They try to act like they know their whole history. What did Jeremiah 17:4 say? You will discontinue. It'll be cut off. Your history will be cut off. You could start eliminating people right there. And you notice, I've named some scriptures. I haven't even went to Deuteronomy yet. All through scripture, a conspiracy. Psalms 83, 1 through 5. Come, let us cut them off from being a nation. That the name of Israel will be no more. They won't ever remember who they are anymore. You could bring the great scriptures like Deuteronomy. that Deuteronomy was so powerful, some people got lazy and just wanted to use that by itself. And you know what? I'll say there's nothing wrong with that. It is so powerful, and people like to mock it because no other nation, especially from Ashkenazi nation, no other nation can claim that they fit that puzzle. Pieces won't go, baby. They will not go. They will not fit.
That's right.
One nation of people. That's our nation of people, you know. And I look at today, Ima, I tell you, there's a movement. I say, man, these people ain't never been this active, you know, the so-called Native American movement. Oh, you know, they say, we didn't come from, we was always here. Some of them say, there were no slave ships. Okay, so you're throwing out all the history, man. No slave ships. Oh, we was always here. This is our land. And so when we're going for second Exodus, now second Exodus is right here. And you got Hebrew Israelites, I mean, so-called Hebrew Israelites, who are jumping on board that. This devil, so-called mm-hmm. Calloway, was following the devils. And
hot mess.
And so the Most High showed me, because what I like, what I do, just the way I do things, I would listen and maybe give a ear or say, give me your references. I will look into it. Time I've looked at that Native American. Not only is it a dead end, but I see in the spirit. See, a lot of people don't know in the spirit what that is doing. It is trying to negate pretty much all the foundational prophecies, that confirms and shows who we are as a people. Okay? Let me go to one of the big ones.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That scripture, that false teaching there, which a lot of Israelites are starting to, scripture says it'll be a falling away. Deuteronomy 28:68. See, that scripture there, first of all, the whole chapter, no one else could claim it. But the chapter has 68 verses. Doozy. I mean, that's just TNT. That's dynamite. The last verse, 68. Like I say, the whole chapter confirms, writes our story. Our people is the only one that can fit that puzzle. But then when you get to the climax, verse 68, and you're going to go into Egypt, and you know Egypt, the scriptures confirm themselves, Egypt is bondage, a house of bondage, to be exact. You're going to go into the house of bondage again. And he even told us how. He say, this time, in ships, in slave ships. Yeah, slave ships, because that's what it is. So you're going to go into slavery in ships. He said you're going to be bond men and bond women. They're going to sell you for bond men and bond women, and no one will be able to mm-hmm. redeem you out of this condition. Now, in ships. So look what these devils are trying to do. They're trying to say, hey, it was all a lie. The white man told y'all a lie. Y'all didn't go into slavery from Africa. You was always here. United States. He was always there. There was no slave ships. Iman, do you see what the devil is doing? If there was no slave ships,
yeah.
What happens to Deuteronomy 28:68?
It's like we would be non-existent.
You see what the devil is doing? You see?
Satan's
he's
getting
trying to remove that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yo, go ahead, Iman. Go ahead.
Yeah, Satan's trying to make it seem that we are lying about everything we see in the scriptures, and that set of Native American people apparently are not even looking at a scripture. They just look at themselves as being here. Sure, some brown-skinned people may have been here that came from Africa, but they didn't come here the way that Yah's tribes came here. That's what we have to understand. Just because somebody has brown skin does not mean that they are us. I'm going to say that this last time. Go ahead, Elba.
Hallelujah. I love it. I love it. Hallelujah. Just because all skin folk ain't careful. Hallelujah. So that doesn't mean, hallelujah, that they're the tribe of Israel. So it's been documented in history that, matter of fact, the holding cells in Ghana and Sierra Leone and these things, they are still there, still with the stench of so-called Negro bodies, bonded. You know, they could have museums there, the old chains and everything, the braces that went around the wrists and the ankles. These things are still there, the holding dungeons, holding
cells.
That's
right. They sure are.
You know.
To tell the
synagogue.
To tell the story.
Yeah. Still there. And these islands that they even had slave islands between right off the coast of West Africa. These things are still there, and they know that we are the only people to fulfill that Deuteronomy 28:68. Like I say, fulfill the whole book, the whole chapter of chapter 28. But boy, and these devils are trying to pick away at the foundation. See, that's one of the foundational among others. That's one of the foundational scriptures, and they figure they could knock the bottom out of that, the whole awakening would crumble. See, but here's what they're forgetting: this awakening is not of man. This is of Yah. And it is marvelous in our eyes. They're going to know that before tonight's over. They're going to know that before tonight's over. What is our title? Our title is Stop Debating. Now, remember I told the brothers and sisters, you know, about working smarter instead of harder earlier on? So this is some advice how you could put that into effect, how you could put that principle into effect of working smarter and not harder. Listen to this title. Tonight's title is Stop Debating, you know, Stop Arguing, Stop Trying to Persuade and Convince with All Your Might, Stop Debating, and Just Be. Okay, let me say that again. Stop debating and just be. You say, just be what? Just be Israel. Stop debating with folks, trying to convince them that you are Israel and just Israel. That's all you have to be. See, because when all the dust is settled, when all is said and done, guess who's going to have the last say? Guess who's going to cast the last convincing vote? Guess who's going to prove our point when it's all said and done? Not going to be one of us, even though we've given it a valiant effort. It's going to be the Most High himself. It's going to be the Most High himself. And you're going to see that in a few seconds as we read our foundational scriptures for tonight. Our foundational scriptures is not just one scripture tonight, it's actually two. One of them, you're going to see who's going to settle this at the end. And if you're Israel, like me, like Ema, you're sitting really good. You feel real comfortable about how he's going to cast the deciding vote. See, because we don't believe we're Israel, we know we're Israel. You're the one that's got to do the believing. You're the one that has to do the wondering and guessing and researching. That's good. Do all of that. Do the research. Because if you do it with a pure conscious and open mind and under the leading of the Ruach HaKodesh, it's just going to lead you to one place. Only one people on this earth fits that puzzle, and that's us. That's the so-called descendants of the slave, the so-called descendants of Yaakov, the so-called people, the bywords you've given us, colored, Negro, Afro-American, African-American, Black, then all the other derogatory words, niggas, spicks, you know, all the anything but who we really are, an Israelite. So it's going to end in one place if you do true research. Hallelujah. So what, let's get to those scriptures, Ema. The first one is in Titus, chapter 3, verse 9. So this could save you a lot of energy for the young ministers out there. And I know you get frustrated because I did. I've had some ministers, some young ministers, and they were sincere, but I guess they would get frustrated, not so much with the Gentiles, but trying to convince their brethren of the flesh, Israelites of the flesh, of who they are. And then one guy say, I just wanted to fight him. I just wanted to hit him. I was so mad. I said, man, don't do that. I say, that ain't the best witness. You know, the Ruach HaKodesh will open their eyes. If he doesn't, then it's not meant. He's the one that goes by that. You, all we are is vessels. Let his spirit flow through you. You minister. You give it your good shot, you know, and you have to leave it up to the Ruach HaKodesh. That's who does the eye opening. Because I didn't have nobody to minister to me in the flesh. I opened the pages of that book. First of all, I had to stick my hand in blindly. The Ruach led my hand. Out of thousands of books on this side of the shelf and the other side of the shelf, I picked that one book. And even then, after that, the Ruach had to lead me through that book. It had to open my eyes. It had to make me say, oh, this is a bunch. You know, it had to prevent me from saying, this is a bunch of hogwash. I'm throwing this away. You know, all I need is JC. But it led me from truth to truth. So hallelujah. Here's the scripture. Titus 3:9, it says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogy. There's some brothers out there, and they just going to debate the heck out of you. Genealogy, E1B1A, 21314, you know, whatever. They, hallelujah. I mean, I don't talk against them. And if you think you found the magic formula in genealogy, hallelujah for it. But when I look in Scripture, I see our DNA in Scripture. If you want to talk about DNA, if you want to talk about the DNA and bloodline, I see our DNA, I see our bloodline, I see our history, I see our traits, our actions, our behaviors, and we still got that same psychological DNA. We're still doing, when I see how stubborn and stiff-necked and murmuring it, and some other areas that I can't discuss right now, but I see our characteristics all through Israel when I read our history book, when I open that Holy Bible. So the brothers who feel they need to go further and show, the haplogroup is this and this one is that, do your thing. But all of us don't have to spend $200 or whatever. We see us. We see our people right through the pages of prophecy right there.
That's right.
And no matter what you come up with, hallelujah, no matter what you come up with, 23andMe or whatever you're using, nothing is going to be as strong evidence as you see right there. Because just what we said, no other group in the world could fulfill Deuteronomy 28. And don't even talk about verse 68. So avoid foolish questions, genealogies, and contentions. You know, you start to fight and strivings about the law. You know, why avoid? It says, for they are unprofitable and vain. Vain means they're useless. They're fruitless. They don't get anywhere. Your whole point was to win the debate, win the argument. But if it's fruitless, that means nobody wins. It's vain. He's telling you that it's useless. It's vain. Brother's going to do it anyway. Scripture says we're stiff-necked people. All right, do your thing there. Smarter, not harder. I believe just being Israel. Second scripture is found in Revelation 3:9. Remember we said, who is really going to decide this matter in the end? Well, here it is, Revelation 3 and 9. We're going to see who really decides it. Is it going to come down to DNA? Is it going to come down to archaeological evidence? What is it going to come down? History? Here's what it's going to come down to. And I'm fine with this. Revelation 3 and 9, it says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, you know, those who say they're worshiping the Most High, but they're really worshiping Satan himself. And there's the people that's doing that. He said, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are, and I'm not going to even quote this word that they have here that they inserted in the Bible, J-E-W-S. Talk to my man, Benjamin Friedman. Get some knowledge on that word. Just came into existence in use in 1775. Read a little book called Facts or Facts by Benjamin Friedman, F-R-E-E-D-M-A-N, Benjamin Friedman. So they own all the publishing houses, all the print shops, all the media, news media, print media. Hey, if they want to insert themselves, I'll read it like it's truly. It says, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Yehudi. Okay. Furthest I'll go is to say they are Judeans and are not, but they do lie. See, they're liars. He say, behold, I will make them. These are the people that the church world, especially the white evangelical church world, they say, these are God's people. Okay. So he says, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know, he's going to expose it to the whole world, and to know that I have loved thee, Israel. You're talking about real Israel.
Mm-hmm.
The ones,
that's right.
The ones who fulfill that puzzle. The one who only one group of people today could feel that puzzle in every piece. And like I say, don't even get us started on verse 68. You know you're blown out of the water. He didn't say it was going to be the wealthiest in the land. People who owns all the broadcasting networks, all the financial institutions, this wicked world. So they're going to prosper on wickedness. Who do you think owns the pornography industry and all that? But they're going to profit on wickedness. Man, I don't have time. So, brothers, it says, don't even get into those foolish questions and genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they, at the end of the day, they are unprofitable and vain. They're useless. It doesn't even take all that. I just gave you the short version of my test. I don't know. That was the short version. I got a book. I prayed. I stuck my hand in the shelf, pulled out a book, took it home, and my whole life was changed. You don't even need a person to minister to you. That's fine if you do have one, but the Most High himself can minister to you through his Ruach HaKodesh. So hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So that's our two scriptures, and all we're going to do tonight, we're not going to probably hold you long tonight. I wanted to get this word out to the brothers and sisters who are putting in the work out there. Praise the Most High, Yah, for you. Keep doing the work. But know at the end of the day, the convincing, final proof, like I said, the proof in the pudding, is going to come from the Most High himself. He's going to set them all down. He's going to expose two things. He's going to expose who's not the people, and he's going to expose who are the people. And if you haven't known or come to discern who are not the people, you are spiritually blind. Because the people who the evangelical church world say are the people
they fit none of these scriptures. None of them. Absolutely.
None.
In fact, they're the total opposite. Total opposite. I don't even want to get into that foolishness. You got half the battle won. Sometimes, if I'm talking to a Gentile about it, I would go a little different way sometimes. Instead of just saying we are the people, I would show them who not the people first. And that's pretty easy to do. But then, you know, you try to tell them that, oh, man, the so-called black people are the people. Okay, that takes a little more energy, I'll say. So, and it definitely takes the Ruach HaKodesh. But it happens. It still happens. People are being enlightened every day. But to figure out who's not the people, that doesn't. I could probably teach a second grader, give them a few scriptures of what the true people are, and then show them what these people are who the church world say are the people, and they'll see that nothing lines up, including that 1948 stuff, you know, when so-called nation folks came home. No, I could teach a second grader to prove who are not the people. Now, I admit it does take a little more patience and perseverance and a lot of the Ruach HaKodesh to minister about who are the people. But that's not hard. It could come. But, no, do it in the strength of the Most High. Don't just try to do it in your own strength. Don't try to do it in the strength of academia. The Most High, He's the winner. He's the poet. He's the one that draws. He's the one that opens their eyes. Hallelujah. So, Imar, let me let you come on up here. And I only got about three more scriptures I want to share with the people. And then we might let them go to bed. Or, you know, the kids, they get happy when you school's out early. You know, I know I just love it, you know. So we might send them home early tonight. I'm going to let you come on up, Imar, and You say whatever the Most High puts on your heart, and I'll be back up after you. Hallelujah. Come on up.
Hallelujah, Pada Elder, for that good information. That's what we have to do here. We have to give you information you can use as much as possible, whenever possible. And tonight I'm going to start with some scripture information. Proverbs 18. Verse 19, Proverbs 18, verse 19. Let's go there and see what it says. It says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Oh, wow. Now, we all know that there are certain kinds of bars. They can be prison bars. They can be castle bars. They can just be bars in the, what they call that, the center when they take you into the jail and put you in there. Those are bars too. And so, as Elder was saying, these brothers of ours, a lot of them are so offended, you can't win them over. So we just say what we need to say to people and say it nicely, be nice. We don't want to offend them, but if they get offended anyway, well, it's Yah who will bring them to Him. See, hear a little, and they hear something else a little. And maybe it will come to them, somebody will say something to them that will bring them back to Yah if it is His will. Because we have to understand again that we have to agree to be His chosen one. We have to agree. We can't get in the kingdom without agreeing with the Father in the name of His Son, Yahushua. We can't do it. It just can't be done. Okay? So let's remember not to create contentions if we can help it. Let's just give that information to them. If it upsets them and they want to argue about it, the scriptures tell us, don't argue about it. Don't do it, okay?
And Proverbs 19, verse 13, it tells us that a foolish son, Proverbs 19, verse 13, going over, it tells us a foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Dropping, you say to yourself, what's that about? Well, we know what foolishness is in a son. It's a calamity. But see, he's experiencing his own calamity. It's not just his father. His father has to just pray and let him go, because that's his individual decision. After he talks to him many times, maybe, or just a few times, and he just runs away from the father, he ends up spending his life in calamity after calamity. And so the contentious wife, well, if she continues going crazy at the house, then it's dropping. Your soul salvation may be dropping off. If you're not strong enough to hold on to Yah's unchanging hand, you're going to be dropping down the hole to where she is. You're going to meet her where she wants you to meet her, in confusion that she creates. And we don't want to be like that, do we, brothers? Ox, we don't want to be like that. Let us make up our mind and hold on to Yah and pray for that woman. Pray for her to be the right woman. Or if she's not the right woman, hallelujah, just ask Yah to remove her. Not kill her. Not beat her up. None of that. Just remove her. And she will decide that she needs to move on. Because you can't deal with that at your house. You know why you can't deal with that at your house? Let me tell you, brothers, you have to be a praying man. You have to be a man that's studying the scriptures when he can, after he helps the children with the homework when they're in school and all that kind of stuff. You have to be the one praying for your family. Sure, you can pay attention to the wife and give her some good attention, but still, you have to be Yah's head of the household. And you can't let that stop you. You can't have the wife making up so much racket at the house that you can't even think anymore. No, you got to get that out of your house. You have to pray for Yah to remove that from your house, remove it from you, because it's disturbing your principles, your spiritualness for Yah. Okay, now, I was talking about that striving. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 44. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 44. It says there, thou also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be head of the heathen, a people which I knew not shall serve me. Well, he's telling you what? That the Father's going to put people in position to serve you, whether they thinking about that or not. He will put those heathen in positions to serve you. It's just like an operation, family. You don't have to strive, because Yah has the power to have the surgeon, the doctor, the nurses, all of them to take care of you. Special care of you. He will give them the skills that they need to take good care of you. And you know what? In the meantime,
hallelujah,
you're going through those changes, but guess what? Yah will show them something. Okay? He will show them something that's in you, that's built into you.
Hallelujah.
And when you show them, they're going to be like, wow, this person came in here and they didn't talk to us about nothing, but we saw something. We saw that what we were planning on telling them, something's wrong with you, and it's so seriously wrong with you, like cancer or something. It's so wrong with you, we're going to have to not only remove it, if we can remove most of it, but we're going to have to do some radiation treatment too, which we all know that that radiation treatment is designed to really to kill you. That's what it's
Hallelujah.
Designed for. And it's designed to keep you on drugs for years to come. But
If you go in there and they say, hey, we removed something, some nodules or little spots that we thought we were seeing, we weren't really seeing them, but we're not going to tell them that, then guess what? We cannot find any cancer, so we can't tell them to come back in here for radiation treatment. Oh, you know, that probably
That's right.
created a little panic in some of them, you know. But they had to stay calm down because Yah showed them, this is mine. This is my family. And you have permission to only do this. And since they're not going crazy and tripping and panicking, you don't have to worry about them because I am taking care of them through you. And you need to go in there and take care of my son, my daughter, my baby, whoever's in there. You go in there and take care of them. You heathens. And so there you are. Yah provides a way for you to come through it. And all you got to do is be patient and say, well, he going to show them something. Ain't nothing wrong. He going to show them. They, you know, they got a little something to go, but they are not capable of understanding yet that I am that person's father. I am their protector. See, Yah has his ways, too, of protecting us. No matter what everybody else is talking about, just remember, go in and be what, Elder? Unafraid. You have to be unafraid of these things coming out of their mouth. Satan, just like Job, he can touch you, but Yah told him you can touch him, you can mess with him, but you can't kill him. That's all it is, too. And then when the time came, Yah gave him a whole new life, a new wife, a new set of children, new soil to be on, whatever he needed, he gave it to him. So Job, after all that craziness he went through, he was healed and he was back under Yah's control only, and Yah took good care of him.
Hallelujah.
And that's what we got to remember. In these trying times that we're going through, there are trying times. And if something come up in your life, something comes up, just say to yourself, y'all going to take care of it. I will pray for him to take care of it because he hears us the first time, people. He's our Father. He hears us the first time.
Yes,
so y'all going to take care of it for you. So that's what you got to do. You got to strive to maybe to hear him. But you don't have to strive to talk to him. You don't have to strive over anything because he is going to give you the answer. You don't know exactly what the answer is going to be and how it's going to come, but he's going to give you the answer that this is his will. This is what he is allowing, but that's all he's going to allow. The rest, he got you. And so you just do what you need to do. He will even tell you when to get off medication. That's how good your father is.
Yeah.
But if it's for you to be teaching people while you're in the process of dying from cancer and you go to the hospital and you talk to the people at the hospital about Yah and Yahusha, then that is what it's going to be. Yahuwah is going to take care of that too through you. He's taking care of them through you. They, a lot of them understand that, especially us. We understand that you may be sick, but you are telling me something I need to know, okay?
Hallelujah.
That's what you need to understand. One of our friends was very ill, but every time she went into the hospital, she was teaching them, family. She was teaching them about the Father. She was teaching them about him, his name, the Shabbat, all these things that are basics. She taught them. And hopefully many of them kept that into their heart. And they are living by it. That's what we are supposed to do, no matter how miserable we are. If we can talk to people and understand what we're telling them, he will do that. But sometimes it's just your body that Yah shows them that you are the one that he is taking care of, you see. And
Hallelujah.
So that's what they got to understand. They come in there and they look at you like, wow, you're not in any pain? Oh, man. Other people that have these same things done to them that we're doing to you, they're in here crying and pitiful and in a lot of pain. They can't move. They just crazy.
And it's just a little bit of operations or something that they go through. But they be in there crying and carrying on these pain pills. But y'all show them the other person that you are, that you don't need pain pills because you're not suffering from any pain. I don't care what everybody else is going through. You're not suffering from it. That's how he does it.
Hallelujah.
See?
Hallelujah.
And we have to look and listen because y'all is talking to you. Oh, okay. Thank you for that. Now, let's see. I know Elder just read Titus 3 to you, so we're not going to do that one right now. We're going to let him continue on with that. But we have to stop dealing with foolish and unlearned questions and avoid knowing that they do gender strife. They start strife, and that's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. 2 Timothy, verse 2 Timothy, 2 chapter, verse 23. It's a lot of twos in there, okay? So we don't want to be dealing with foolish, unlearned questions. Avoid them, knowing that they do gender strife. Like Elder was saying, some people you can get to talking to them, and it's like, oh, it's like strife will show up quick because they ready to fight you about one little something that they don't even really know about, but they want to fight you over it.
Mm-hmm.
They want to argue and trip with you over that one little something, like the Sabbath day. Well, I don't know what you're talking about because Sunday is the day. It's the right day, and I don't care what you're talking about, okay? And my mom, before she passed away, years before she passed away, I had to stop talking to her about the Father that much because she had told me that she is going to stay at her church no matter what because Sunday is her day that she goes to church, and that's what she's going to do. And I can do what I want to do, but she is going to go to her church. She's going to be there. That's what she's going to be. And I said, well, he spoke that into a gift, so I cannot do anything about that. Unless y'all tells her to talk to me about the Sabbath day, I'm not going to talk to her about that anymore. I'm not going to create strife and confusion with my mother. You see?
Because
I had been telling her about the Shabbat for years, and stuff like that, and she never wanted to understand that. And finally, when she told me that, I said, well, she's made up her mind. And that's it. That's all it is. You know, some of us are stubborn. And I'll let y'all take care of that. I don't know when she's going to release herself from that Sunday and all that kind of stuff, but maybe she'll do it before it's the end. So we don't know, family, who is going to be spoken to that will finally understand when it's coming directly from Yahusha or from Yahuwah or what? We don't know at the end when he awakens us. But just pray and keep on moving. That's all you can do. I prayed for her. I talked to her occasionally after that, but I didn't try and say something to her that was going to make her go crazy. We'll just do what we can. Elder Yael spoke with her several times, and they don't mind listening to him, but if I say something, it's a problem. So I let him do the talking.
Hallelujah.
Because that she do again, she thinks she knows everything. You know, and that's what I get from them all.
Hallelujah.
I get that feeling, like Elder said, I get that feeling.
That's
but
right.
We can't let, you know, we can't let that make us keep doing stuff to our family or to our friends. And others that we don't even know that well, we can't let Satan run them off from
truth.
When they hear the truth, let them hear it, let them understand it, let them come on in to Yah. And that's all we can do. We can pray that.
Hallelujah.
Because in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4, it tells us, Hebrews 12, verse 4, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Okay. Now, did you see the last three words of that? You hear the last three words of that? Striving against sin.
That's
we
right.
need to strive against sin. We need to resist with our blood, striving against the sin. You know, some people are thinking about doing something wild right now, whatever that may be. I'm not going to describe any of those things, so you can't grab one. But we got to stop ourselves and pray. You know, sometimes people just need to pray and call on the Father. Just stop and call on the Father by name.
Yeah.
Yahuwah or Yah, okay? Yahuwah or Yah, something like that. Yahuwah is the ancient Hebrew word for the Father. That's his name in ancient Hebrew. But when they modernized the Hebrew, they just left the U-A-H off and just it's Yah, Y-A-H, Yah.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to pray, though. The scripture tells we have to pray in the name of Yahuwah or Yahusha, his son. Yahusha or Yahoshua or that kind of name. If you got that in your vocabulary where you are right now, then Yahusha is the son. Because it tells us in the scriptures when we pray in the son's name, we're praying really to the Father and actually in his name. We're asking in his name, in the Father's name, through the son's name for our blessing.
Holy.
I know it sounds a little tied up there, but that's what we're doing. We're asking him in through the son. The son said, you got to talk to me, and I will relay it to my Father, you see, because he knows, and we should know, he knows, we should know that they are one because they agree together, like husband and wife are one, because we're on the same team, you see.
That's right.
We're on the same team together. It's not like we're on separate teams. Gee. So that's what we want to understand. That's what we want to know, is that we are doing what Yah gives us to do. He says in Exodus 13, chapter 13, verse 9, tells us, and it shall be for a sign unto you upon thine hand and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Father's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Father brought thee out of Egypt. Okay. Now, he brought us out of Egypt, and now we're in Egypt again, but he's still saying that to us now. I'm going to bring you out of Egypt, okay? So the same things that happened in the past are going to happen again. That's all there is to it. He's going to bring us out of this place, and he's going to take us where he will protect us while all this other lunacy is going on, okay? Because he says in Exodus 12, verse 49, Exodus 12, verse 49, one law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth amongst you. Okay?
Yeah.
So if we got strangers around, which means they're not part of his chosen ones, but they have been grafted in, then they will obey the laws that the Father put down for us, for his people, his chosen one, not those Jews. Forget them. If Yah chooses some of them, it's because they're doing what we are doing, and that is holding on to his real name, holding on to him, holding on to his Shabbat, not stuff that they have made up over there. So he's got a handful of his people everywhere. Just like it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the time of the end. And so we need to be trying to understand these things. When it's said, Yah says it for a reason. And even in Exodus 16, verse 28, let's go to Exodus 16, verse 28. And The Father said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? Wow, he even asking Moses this. He's not just asking us. He even asked Moses the same thing that he's asking us right now. Right? Can you see that, people? Can you see it? And the Father said to Moses, how long are you going to refuse to keep my commandments and my law? How long are you going to keep doing this stupid stuff? See, he had to tell Moses that so Moses would pull it together also. And you're saying to yourself, why is she saying that? It's in the scriptures. It's in there. And you don't have to look too far to find these things. Oh, man, I tell you, it is so crazy. But that's all I'm going to say, Elder, because I've gone through a few of those things to get our people ready mentally for what you are about ready to say. Hallelujah. There we go, Elder. Go ahead.
Hallelujah. Praise the Most High. Thank you, Ema. Hallelujah. Keeping on our theme, hallelujah, about basically we're talking about the proof is in the pudding. You say, hey, that's not the title of the show. I didn't say what the title of the show. I'm talking about a theme here. We already got the title, Stop Debating and Just Be Israel. Okay? So we're talking about some principles here. We know, just recapping, no tribe or no people, no tongue on earth can fit the puzzle like except for the so-called Negro, descendant of slaves. Can fit the puzzle of the script, the biblical script, prophetic script that shows who his people are. Like I say, you could go through the whole Deuteronomy 28 and nobody will fit the script except the so-called Negro. Verse 68, that's cream, what they call it as a cherry on top. That's just cream on the top. No one could even come near verse 68. And we're talking about Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 68. We're talking about stop debating and just be. Why, Israel? Because at the final analysis, the Most High is going to render. He's going to cast a deciding vote. And he's going to do it openly. He says he's going to have them to bow down at our feet and to know it is us, the descendant of slaves. It is us, the so-called Negro, that he loves. Now, the Ooh is going to do the work. He's going to do the exposing. Now, let's do a mental exercise here. I've been wanting to do this tonight. Here's a mental exercise. This will help you, and this will help you get the point across to others. Just bear with me. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Go down this road with me. This is a mental exercise. Very simple. It goes like this. You have on a pair of black pants. Let's just make it precise. Black jeans, okay? A lot of people have black jeans today. I know blue jeans used to be the thing back in the day, but now people got a lot of different color jeans. I would say a lot of people, if not most people, have at least one pair of black jeans. Okay, so black goes with a lot of different things. Okay, you're wearing your black jeans, right? And you're sitting with a person, be it a cafeteria or so, a person that you just getting to know. Maybe having a sandwich eating, you're having a sandwich eating. But you ask the person, you don't have to ask the person. The person say, man, I really like those orange jeans you have on. This is the exercise. person sitting next to you say, I really like those orange jeans you have on. I've never seen jeans in that color. And you say, well, pardon me, are you talking to me? Yes, I'm talking to you. Those are some really nice orange jeans. Now, you might just indulge him one time. I guarantee you're probably not going to. If you're a person of normal intelligence, you're not going to go too much further. You might say one time, pardon me, but I don't know if this is a joke or so, but my jeans are not orange. They're black. And they go on with a serious face, a serious demeanor, and say, no, that your jeans are not black. Your jeans are orange. And you say, okay, what am I going to do with this person here? Okay, again, if this is a joke, that's funny, but I don't really get the joke. I do know my jeans are black. No, they're not black. They're orange. Okay, it'll be about that time that the average person would say, okay, I'm disconnected mentally from this. Verbally, and I might just disconnect physically. I might just get on up, grab the left of the sandwich, and move to a different table. Now, I want you to stop and think. What would you do? Let's say you made it to that point, and you know the person now is not a joke to him. They're actually serious. They're trying to convince you that your jeans are orange. Now, I don't even know if orange jeans exist, but they probably do. Every other got all colors. But your jeans are definitely not orange. They're black. Now, this guy got a straight face. His demeanor is stern. He's serious. It's no joke. Are you going to waste the next few minutes expending a lot of energy and a lot of mental energy and trying to convince him that your jeans are black when you know they're black? But are you going to try to convince him that they're not orange? I tell you, you think about your answer. I tell you what, I wouldn't do it. I don't have that kind of energy. As a matter of fact, I want to spend the next amount of energy I have digesting this sandwich and cold drink or whatever I have, cold bottle of water. I am not going to argue with a fool. If this person is serious and they really think that, then you will have mercy on them. I'm not going to be the one to expend all my energy to convince a fool. Because what did Titus 3:9 say? At the end of the day, it's vain. Strivings, contentions, it's vain. They say avoid it. And when you're avoiding that, you're going to be avoiding some fools. I'm not saying everybody who wants to debate the fool, but it's going to be some fools in that category. So you're going to be avoiding some fools. And it's going to save you a lot of what they call consternation, a lot of mental anguish and pain. A lot of uselessly spent mental energy when you could have been using that for something else. You could have been using that in prayer and Bible study or witnessing to someone who does get it. So you're not going to argue with that fool who tries to convince you that your black jeans are orange. So what's the point of all this? What is this exercise about? If you really know who you are, here's the point. If you really know who you are, see, the scripture says the spirit bears witness. That means your Ua spirit. The spirit of the Most High bears witness with our spirit to let us know who we are. The spirit bears witness to our spirit to confirm to us that we are his people. We know who we are. There should be no doubt. Yes, the word of the Most High, beautiful. It backs up, like we said earlier, nobody fits the puzzle but the so-called Negro. No one no nation and tongue on earth, no tribe. What's the book of Amos say? You only have I known. Of all the nations and tribes, you only have I known. No one else fits the puzzle. It's only you. So are you going to sit there and try to waste your precious energy with this person when you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your genes are black? Now, come on. Most of you will not. And why wouldn't you? Because you know your genes are black. You don't believe it. It ain't a belief thing. You don't believe it. You're not persuaded of it. You just know it goes deeper than persuasion and thinking and believing. You know it. You know it. Famous Bob, late great Bob Marley had a song. The title. I know the tune of it. I think it was called Ride, T Ride. Ride, now T Ride. And one lyric in there, I really like it. Sticks with me to this day. It says, brothers, we should know, K-N-O-W, and not believe. In other words, he didn't say belief was bad, belief is a good thing. But it comes a time where you could go above mere belief. You know, like the old church folks used to say, you know that you know. They get them testifying. They ain't talking about they're saved, but they say, you got to know that you know that you know. It's nothing like knowing. Would anybody convince you that 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4? Would you sit there and debate with somebody who tries to convince you that 2 + 2 equals 5? Now, seriously, would you do it? Would you give precious time and space? Would you exert energy trying to debate that? Trying to defend which you already know to be true, that 2 + 2 does equal 4. Are you going to actually give ear to his argument, his or her argument? They say, no, it equals 5. No. 1 + 1 equals 2. 2 + 2 equals 4. Your genes are black. They're not orange. Those are irrefutable facts. Well, if you know that as a sure of who you are, of your identity as a people, I know I am. I believe Emi is. That's not saying we don't share this knowledge, but know that you do not have to engage in rumble and tumble, debates, fights, quarrels, strivings, contention, just the stuff that 3 and 9 talks about. Because if a fool wants to believe an error over the truth, there's nothing you can do about it. Only Yah can open his eyes. And it's better in that condition, at a time like that, it's better to just, instead of trying to convince someone that you're Israel, it's better to just be Israel. Because remember, it's not over. Because at the end of the day, the Most High is going to convince the world of who his people is. The Most High himself. We read Revelation 3 and 9. Hallelujah. He's going to do the convincing. So how do you just be Israel? Well, it says we're a royal priesthood. We're a chosen nation, a royal priesthood. You go back to the covenant in Exodus 19. It tells who we went into covenant with, the Most High, and it tells what was our part supposed to play. You know that Yahuwah is going to do his part. What was our part? We were supposed to adhere to his law, statutes, and commandments. Of course, love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. walk in his commandments and laws. They're easier to do now than back in Moses' day. Why is that? Because they're in our heart. If you're filled with his spirit, Jeremiah 31 says he's going to bring those laws nearer to you. He's going to place them in your heart. You have no excuse. Yahushua himself brought them near and dear to us. He even expounded on them before he ascended. He says, you say if you commit adultery, the physical act, the person should be put to death. He said, but I say unto you, even if you lust after a woman, committed adultery in your heart already. You see how nearer they are than just the tablets of stone, something external. He said, if you murder someone, shed innocent blood, you should die to death. It's an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. He said, but even if you have hate in your heart for your brother, you have committed murder. You've committed murder in your heart. That's worthy to pen it of. Just like you're lusting after a woman, or I guess a woman lusting after a man. You see how nearer they are than the external tablets of stone. So we keep his laws that were placed in our heart by the Ruach HaKodesh. That's being Israel. There's a lot of people out on the street corners yelling about being Israel. They're cursing people out about being Israel. You know, like I say, one of the brothers who I talked to, young brother, he actually got mad. He said he's about to fight. He's about to hit somebody with his fist. He got so frustrated over his brother. This brother just wasn't grasping what he was saying, and it just frustrated him to the point he just lost his temper. But thankfully, he didn't go off on the brother. But he said he was about to. I said, whoa, this is people out about to go blows just because. No, just be Israel. Give you some examples about just being Israel. What did he say about, what's one character? He said, Matthew 7 and 20, our Mashiach, Yahushua says, by their fruits you shall know them. Okay. That's a good precept. That's a good principle. By your fruits. You know, tree is not going to bear apples, right? And a fig tree is not going to bear plums. So you're going to know the tree by the fruit it bears. So by their fruits, what you produce, what is manifested to the world from you, out from you. Fear part, they can't see with their naked eyes, but they can observe the fruits. They can see what type of fruit you bear. They'll know who you are by your fruits. Let's just do one of the fruits. He say love. Hallelujah. Love. A lot of people fast for a lot of different things, but have you ever fasted for more love? That would be a beautiful thing to fast for. Love. So he said, by the fruits, they're going to know you. By the fruits. You say, well, how do you fast for love? That's not that important. I need finances. I need healing. Those things are good to fast for. But love, look how important love is. Let's go to First John. Let's go to the book of John 13, and we're going to go down to verse 34. Yahushua speaking. If you have a red letter edition, these words are being read. He say, a new commandment I give unto you. Look what it was, that ye understand one another, that you treat each other nice. No, he said that ye love one another. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. how much we should love one another. We should love one another just as much as our Mashiach loved us and loves us. As I have loved you, ye also love one another. That's a lot of love. You know what he ultimately gave up, sacrificed. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend or for his brother. And that's some great love. And he proved that love. Why not pray and fast for that kind of love? Now, if that kind of love is displayed, that's a fruit. That's an undeniable fruit that you are the Most High's child. Okay? Let's look at some of the benefits of that love. 1 John 4, I'm going to read verses 12 and 18. It says, no man hath seen Yahuwah at any time. If we love one another, Yahuwah dwelleth in us. And listen here. And his love is perfected in us. Oh, hallelujah. His love is perfected in us. Ask the Most High for perfect love. Let your love be perfected towards my brother. Because he said earlier, if we love one another, Yahuwah dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected. So love one another. And Yahusha already gave us a template. He say, love to the same degree as I have loved you. Love your brother. Love your brother who you see. You say you love Yahuwah, who you don't see. Love your brother who you do see. That way your love will be perfected. And look at the benefits of your love being perfected. It says, there is no fear in love. That perfected type of love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And that's a big thing, because when fear is cast out, a lot of little attachments is cast out with it, things that you would love to be without. Look at some of the attachments to fear. Fear is the root of worry and anxiety, doubt, and unbelief. That's why it brings torment. If you're having trouble believing for something, your spirit is troubled. It's tormented. It just means trouble. If you have trouble believing something, unbelief, your spirit is troubled. You say, man, I wish I had the faith to believe this. So you're wobbling back and forth. You're tormented. Your spirit is not at peace. If you have worry and anxiety, anxiety is worrying about something that hasn't even happened yet. Fear is trouble. You go and take the test. You say, I know I'm going to fail that test. I just don't take good tests. I'm not a good test taker. I know I'm going to fail it. So before, you're worried the night before, you're worried the morning of, and you're worried all through taking a test. And guess what? Most High probably wind up letting you pass the test. You don't raise your blood pressure, your stress levels, stress hormones, which does detrimental things to your body, to your cells. You did all that worrying, have all that anxiety, and you wind up passing the test. See, that's torment, tormenting your own soul. But perfect love, it says, cast out fear, which comes along with torment, anxiety, worry, doubt, and unbelief. So it's worth praying, Father, let your love be perfected in me. Let your love for my brother, let your love for my sister be perfected in me. You wouldn't even have to worry about praying to get rid of fear. Fear would, that perfected love would just drive out fear. Another thing, let's just, because we're just talking about being Israel, the world's going to see these fruits. They're going to see the love. Do you know he says, he went on to say, by this? He didn't say about a whole bunch of other things. He says, by this, still talking about that love, by this, the love we have for another, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. That's a powerful statement, because he could have said, by the miracles you work, by how good you speak in tongue, how good you prophesy. He could have said a bunch of things. But he says, by this, by the love you display one for another, by the love that's manifested in you and through you,
He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciple, that you have love one for another. That's powerful. Another way we could just be Israel is walking in adherence to his laws and commandments. Because you know what that brings when we do that? That brings healing to our spirit, healing to our mind, healing to our bodies. There's a bunch of unhealthy people in this world. You walking around in health, good emotional, mental, spiritual health, and good physical health, you're going to stand out, especially in these Western countries where they just eat any and everything. Everybody's overweight, obese, sick, in and out of the hospital, medications galore. You're going to stand out. If you're walking in his divine health, there's conditions to it. But if you follow, if you satisfy the conditions, you're going to walk in his divine health. That's going to manifest who you are. That's why we're talking about just be Israel. Look what he said about health. He says, if thou wilt, Exodus 15:26, it says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of Yahuwah, thy mighty one, and will do that which is right in his sight, see, and keep, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes. So those conditions, right? Just walk in obedience. Walk in obedience to his laws and commandments. They're in your heart. Walk in obedience to. He says, repent and walk in obedience. He says, I will put none of these diseases upon thee that he put upon the Egyptians or upon the other nations. He says, for I am Yahuwah. It is I that healeth thee. What a manifestation you could display to the world by walking in his divine health. That's why we're saying, be Israel. That's our heritage. Have love for one another, displaying that love, to walk in his divine health. That's our heritage. And not just body, in your mind too. Look at all the people talking to themselves. Just walk in, just go out to any major city and go downtown and see. You'll see people having conversations, full-blown conversations, talking to each other and answering, talking to themselves and answering themselves. What's another one? Now, this one is a little tricky because one thing we don't want to sound like is one of these crooked prosperity preachers. But I'm going to take one of the true principles that some of them talked about and not pervert it like that. I'm not going to make merchandise of you. We're not going to make merchandise of you, as Peter said. That's what they do. The wickedness and the perversion, it's nothing wrong with the Most High blessing your finances. We're not talking about being filthy rich and just wanting money, just to hoard money. No, but being blessed in your finances, that you're not struggling. You're not always asking people to borrow money. You're not always begging. You're not always going out to the county office trying to get assistance, trying to get this and everything. We're not talking against people who have find themselves in need of that area, but we're saying you're not always first one in line when they're open. You know, you were there a few months ago, now 6 months, you're back. You know, what did Dawid said? His testimony said, I have been young and now I'm old, and I have yet during that time to see the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's the heritage of the Most High people. Be Israel. Finance, what did he say about that? Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, but thou shalt remember Yahuwah, thy mighty one, for it is he that giveth thee power or the authority to get wealth, to have finances in place, to have enough, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, even to this very day. The Most High swearing to our fathers that we will be taken care of. Why do you think Dawid says, I've been old I mean, I've been young, but now I'm old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out there begging bread, nor his seed needy and, you know, destitute out there begging bread. Walk in your divine heritage. Finances is a part of it. We're not talking about filthy lucre, you know, loving money, hoarding money, doing wicked things with money, coveting more and more, you know, insatiable, never have enough. No, we're talking about enough to live comfortable and do the things the Most High wants you to do. Part of that is meeting all your financial obligations, have enough to pay all your bills. Yahushua and them have to pay taxes. Well, he tells them that he sent one of his disciples out to get a fish. They look in the fish mouth. That it'd be enough money there to pay the taxes. He didn't try to skate around the taxes. He paid them. They had enough. It's to have enough. Enough to pay your bills. Enough if you got a house to pay your mortgage or whatever. Enough to keep the lights on, the heat on. Not having to ask your neighbor, can I plug in this long extension cord to your house so I could heat up my house for the night or so I could use my electric stove? No, he doesn't want you in that. He definitely doesn't want to make you to be maintained in that position. No. He will provide your every need. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That doesn't sound like comes up short. It comes up lacking. He says, Psalms, listen to Psalms 1. We read that a lot. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the unrighteous, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We're talking about being Israel. But his delight is in the law of Yahuwah, and in his law, in his word, doth he meditate day and night. Listen to this. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That tree is rooted and grounded, right? You're rooted and grounded in the truth. It says, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time and a season for all things. So you're going to bring forth your fruit in your season. His leaf also shall not wither. Listen to this part here. And whatsoever he doeth, whatsoever you put your hand to do, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's blessing. That's true prosperity blessing, because you're seeking his righteousness first. And what's one of the fruits? The Most High will make sure you are provided for. You are provided for. Finances is a part of this world. It's part of the reality of this world. Try to keep staying in your apartment or your house without paying your rent or your mortgage, or you got your house paid off without paying your taxes. See how long you keep that roof over your head. It's just the reality of this world. So,
yep.
Finances is one of the blessings. Be Israel. Now, these blessings will be manifested to his people. Here's another one. 3 John 2. Beloved, I desire above all things that thou mayest prosper. In other words, look at the word prosper. Succeed in material terms. So he either wants you to, he's going to say he wants you to prosper spiritually, but he's been talking about succeeding in material terms. Be financially successful. Okay, so let's reread that. Beloved, I desire above all things that thou mayest succeed, even in material terms, to be financially successful and be in good health, even as thy soul prospereth. In other words, even as your spiritual walk with the Most High flourishes and is fruitful. Look at just those three things. Love you display one for another. health, walking in divine health, not only physical but spiritually and mentally and emotionally. Finances. You don't have to be the richest. You don't have to have the money of Bill Gates and all, but you have enough, you know. You have enough to live the life, a joyful, complete, full life that he wants you to live. You have enough to pay your bills. You have enough to meet your financial obligations. You have enough to help others, be a blessing to others. He may even give you enough that you can bless other ministries. These are the ways that we can just be. And it all starts with our walk with the Most High, repenting, coming to him, walking in his laws and commandments. What are the fruits? These blessings, these manifestations are the fruits. Read it in the first one when we read Exodus 15:26. It was some conditions to walking in divine health. He said he wants you to adhere to his laws and statutes and commandments. He said, if you do that, I won't put none of these diseases that I put on the other nations. I put on particularly the Egyptians. So some things, all we have to do is walk with him, and the fruit of who we are will be displayed. It'll be displayed in our life. It's all right to talk and witness, but what is the old adage? Action speaks louder than words. Your life is a greater testimony. It speaks ultimately louder than what can ever come out of your mouth. If you're living a righteous life and you're bearing righteous fruit, that is the biggest testimony. That is the biggest confirmation of who you are. See, they already see the flip side of that. The Deuteronomy 28 verses 15 through 68, they see the curses. And, yeah, the curses are a sign, too. Then verse 46, I believe, it say, these curses will be a sign. You are. It actually said it. These curses will be a sign. See, but how did we get to that curse part? See, because verses 1 through 14 in that same chapter are the blessings, the benefits. We get to that curse part, verses 15 through 68, because of disobedience and walking in sin. So how do you get back to verses 1 through 14? It's called repentance. And that old nasty fruit, that old corrupt fruit, verses 15 through 68, that'll start falling out. That'll start withering away, and you'll start growing and displaying new fruit. Verses 1 through 14. I'm going to end it with this. Let's show this kind of fruit. Mark. This book of Mark. Chapter 16. Verses 16 through 17. It says, 15. It says, go ye into all the world and preach. Teach the good news to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Listen, Israel. Be Israel. Just be. Listen to verse 17 and 18. If you walk in that righteous life, these manifestations will speak for you. They will witness who you are. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Come on, we need to start seeing the manifestation. A lot of scholars here, but let's see the manifestations. After all, what did Shaul say? The kingdom of Yah is not in mere word, but in power and demonstration of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That your faith shall not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of the Most High. It says, these signs shall follow them. Walk in my power. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, not you intentionally, take some strychnine, guzzle it down your throat, knowing what you, don't tempt the Most High. But if somebody put something in there that you weren't aware of and you're walking a righteous life, it says if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Listen to else what they should do. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. James backed that up when he says, if any are sick among us, let them call for the elders of the assembly, and they will pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of Yahusha, and the prayer of faith will raise up the sick. And not only that, if they've committed any sin, he said, it shall be forgiven them. There's healing in the body of Mashiach. Israel, you don't have to convince just in mere words. You can just be Israel. Because at the end of the day, at the end of it all, when the dust settles, the Most High is going to declare openly. I mean, he's going to make an open display who his people are. He done already told you who we're not. He done already said those liars over there are not the people. He say they say they are. This is Revelation 3 and 9. He say, but they're not. They're lying. He said, I'm going to have them same liars to come before you and bow down to you. I'm going to show the whole world in front of them that you are my people. You are the one that I truly love. Israel, just be Israel. That's your most powerful witness. Hallelujah. I'm done.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Todai Elder, for that information for our people. And that's what we have in store for you. Again, next week is a new show on Tuesday night at 7. So come on in and join us if you can while we're live. And if not, join us when you can on Wednesday night or the weekend night. Just come on in and listen. The shows are all recorded in there where you come into Blog Talk Radio, okay? So let me go ahead and play this last song for this evening to carry you on. Let's see. Blowing in the Wind. Here we go.
Hello, man.
Learn to look with a heart and not a mind. That's the proper way of discerning these kinds. life a friend and going to the end. And if they untrue, they'll blow away in the wind. That's where you started. Know that the adversary gon' try to make you depart. Deviate that move with correction of the heart. And that is the moral of the story. I see time sinks in, don't let me get the glory. If somebody sits in, embrace it with a hurry. The truth is in the spirit, don't judge a book with your worries. If the world makes your diamonds and pearls. If you look within, you see the true world. Oh boy, that's peaceful, with gentle, with deepness of joy. Don't desire the vein that opens the door. For both of one another to destroy who's worthy. Kingdom, Yah welcomes us with glory. Don't push the truth, figure the way to blow away in the wind.
All right, family, shalom, shalom, and may everyone be blessed with a beautiful night.
Shalom, family. Good night. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.